This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us for this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes, Spotify, and other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturists. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
If you do join us on Patreon, you can watch us record this show live like we normally do. Not today, we're on a time budget today.
We are.
So we've got it with no fucking around. Here I am fucking around. Yeah, so if you want to watch us record this show live, join us on Patreon at any tier. And you can also watch us record Young and the Wrestlers on a Thursday as well. So you can see us record both our shows live, get directly involved. It's good times. If you want to support us in more one-off fashion, head over to popcultures.com/shop where you can buy nothing that we're wearing and other assorted shit with our logos on it. We are on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist. Speaking of, apparently we have... Is it on?
It's on 9%.
It's still charging though, yeah?
Is it? I don't know. Oh, yeah, it's got a little plug thing.
Yeah, we're all good. Minor hiccups. Hi. So we are now affiliates with TeePublic, the guys that do our shirts.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
That means we get big cut.
Hey.
And we also have the ability to run like special campaigns and get promo codes. Oh. So outside of, you know, when you get the original, like the sale window of like a couple of days every month, we can now drop our own sales when we want. Mm. So what, you know, if you're a Patreon, bam, here's a code for some merch.
Mm. You're already giving us money. Give us more, but a little less.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, or maybe I'm like, you know what, it's Thursday. Bam. This code goes for 10 minutes.
Cool.
Then no
cool.
one buys anything. But like, yeah, so...
Hey, we sell stuff.
We have sold some stuff. Mm. It's not too bad. Mm. But yeah, that's a cool little thing. So yeah, hopefully you'll see some more little Cody things out there. And we are due some new designs. I'm jiggering around a little
bit. Well, we got to get Gem in them too, don't we?
We do have to get Gem in them now. Mm-hmm. I need to make her as a cyanide and happiness person.
Mm-hmm.
Get her on those shirts. Mm-hmm. How you been, man?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't played anything.
No?
No. A little bit Destiny.
Yeah, how's still good?
Mm.
Nice. Mm. I've been off work this week, my annual leave week.
Oh, yeah.
I spent all of it dying.
Oh.
So, you know how, like, when we recorded on Sunday last week and my voice gave out, that was just the beginning.
Oh. So, I was getting sick then too, but I woke up fine the next day.
So. Fuck all you right now. I spent Monday literally on the couch just, like face pain, headache, like all of the worst. The only thing I wasn't doing was pooping furiously, which was really a nice surprise to me, actually.
Oh, that's actually out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, oh. So yeah, I died on the couch. I just watched a lot of Community. I listened to a lot of Community as I died. And then eventually all the pills kicked in and it was all good. So I played some Crash Bandicoot, mm-hmm. Crash Team Racing.
Mm-hmm.
So over the 2 days, I was able to 100% the campaign. The adventure mode. It's not just finish it like I did the other week. I actually went in 100% of that motherfucker. On easy, because I'm fucking... I don't have so much time in my day, so go away.
That's not an excuse.
Hmm?
And you have so much time in the day. You just...
I just happened to...
You don't want to put the effort in to get good.
Hell no. So I went... I opened up a second campaign and got those other characters that didn't want me to have.
Right.
So that was a one good... Speaking of Crash Bandicoot, though, Crash Team Racing, I talked about this on the stream on Wednesday, but I got a lovely little email.
Yes.
Just saying, hey, something's coming to your house in the next couple of days. Sign for it. Like,
asbestos.
Okay, that sounds like terrorism. But it wasn't terrorism. So... A company that we dealt with way back in the day, called Blue Mouth Interactive. They deal primarily with like controllers and accessories and other cool sort of shit. I think they're one of the big scuff dealers here in Australia. They've also just opened up this new part of their line it's a website called GeekSpot, I think it is, or GeekStop, one of those two, where they're trying to sort of do what Zing is. Like, you know, EB Games is Zing. They're trying to do another version of Zing. Is it GeekSpot? That's it, Geekspot. Mm-hmm. Geekspot. So what? So yeah, we as a, spoke to them a long yonks ago. Haven't dealt with them all that much recently. Then we get an email saying, "Hey, check your inbox, check your mailbox, because this is coming."
What is that? Right?
This is a Crash Team Racing nitro fueled little go kart thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, I don't know if you know this, but you can keep your weed in there, man.
Fuck yeah!
It's an incense burner. So it comes this little bullet capsule at the back. You put it in there, and then you then put the incense in it, and cool smokies come out.
I would say it took about an hour and a half for someone to smoke weed out of
the literal second that I opened it. I'm like, how can I bong this? Like, I haven't smoked ever. in a while. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what? How could I bong this? But no, this is absolutely amazing. It's going to live on the shelf there, and it's going to be very cool. So, very nice. Thank you very much to the ladies and gentlemen over there at Blue Mouth. They're also hooking us up with some of those fig pins. They want us to. They want to know what we. So they have these things called fig pins.
Because I thought you said pens.
Pins. So apparently, pins are huge. In the gaming industry, people love pins.
Oh.
I've never understood pins myself personally because I don't wear a lot of shit for pins. Mm. But when I had a look at some of the pins that these guys have, they've got like DC ones, which are very, very cute. They've got some PlayStation-y ones. Mm.
They've got Kingdom Hearts ones.
There's like some Marvel-y ones. And there's, I'm like, all right, like we want to whip you some.
I'll take a Vegeta pin.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, sweet. Yeah, no, we'll take it. Ooh, Vegeta. I'm like, you know what? Look, we'll take a look at it. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll jump on that sword.
How cool are these Bluetooth speakers they have?
Wait, what? It's like the Rose from Beauty and the Beast.
They're Bluetooth speakers.
Iron Man's head, Boba Fett's helmet. Oh, that's rad. Yeah. Oh, understandably.
Not sure I'll pay $300 for it, but they do look cool.
But yeah, so that's awesome. Maybe I should use that like to stop my nose from being so. What can I put in there to like make my nose not so stuffy?
Weed.
Yeah, so like lavender
or tea tree oil.
Ooh. Sounds flammable.
It's not.
No.
Is it?
An oil it should be, right? Man, we are really getting sidetracked. Like we're on a time budget. Is tea tree oil
lavender
flammable?
Oil flammable. Yes. Thanks, miracleofessentialoils.com.
I need to blow my nose. I'm having a tissue at some point. But
yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, it's a big thank you to them. That was very, very, very cool. Very nice surprise. Mm-hmm. It was really cool because it was like that night. I 100% of it. I posted it on Twitter. I was like, cool. Think I'm done with this game for a little bit because there's the Grand Prix. I mean, chipping away at that too. Mm. Put it away. Took it out of the PlayStation. I'm like, wake up the next morning. I'm like, is this my reward for 100% the adventure?
You'd think a platinum would earn that.
Yeah, that's platinum worthy right there. But no platinum. Did I mention last week I got the Spider-Man platinum?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. Cool. There'll be lots of coughing this episode. But one thing I did achieve this week, because during my...
You didn't want to save this for the main topic?
I'm going to do one of the questions from the peeps.
Are we?
Yeah, we want
to. I thought you just said you wanted to do this for the main topic. Didn't you just say that?
Actually, let's do that. Let's make that the main topic.
Yeah.
And then we'll
have a quick little Q&A.
Western Q&A community
quick
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, spoilers. Main topic stays gone. Finally got credits on that mother liquor. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But before we get into there, we need to get some current shit because Days Gone came out fucking months ago.
Yeah.
Let's talk about all the news that happened this week in a section we call Inform the Players.
By all the news, I mean nothing. I was really scraping.
Man, it was a really tough week.
Anyway.
Even this is old news.
Is it?
Yeah.
It was like a new article.
Well, I'll explain why in just a moment.
Okay. All three of the core Rocksteady Batman Arkham games are being re-released for Xbox One and PS4 this September. A listing for Batman Arkham Collection was posted on Amazon UK announcing the re-release ahead of the official reveal from Warner Brothers. And then that was a leak and then it was confirmed by a dev on Twitter. The Arkham Collection contains remastered versions of Arkham Asylum, Arkham City.
I'm going to quickly get some toilet paper or something.
Which were released previously as a PS4 game and on Xbox One as Return to Arkham Collection, as well as Batman Arkham Knight. The collection does not include Batman Arkham VR nor Batman Arkham Origins, the prequel game developed by Warner Brothers Montreal. While the game had as many fans, it seems consistently left out of the Arkham conversation. It was not remastered for the Return to Arkham re-release and thus remains the only game in the series that has not been upgraded for the current gen of consoles. Now, why was this old news, Ryan?
Oh, I can breathe again.
Yay.
Because it already exists in the PSN.
Does it?
Yeah, you can already buy the bundle. Unless they're releasing with it Arkham physically Knight. Now. Yeah.
You sure? Because there was a return to Arkham, which had...
Yeah, there is the return to Arkham, which is the redone of City and Asylum, right? Yeah. That's been around forever. We reported on, like, years ago that she got delayed indefinitely.
Okay.
Totally, then eventually came out. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is literally the three-pack bundle. So it's got, like...
Does the three-pack bundle have the remastered Arkham and Asylum?
Yeah.
Or are they the originals and Knight?
No,
and
it is literally... Put the PSN. Double check this for me. We're doing a lot of research today. But yeah, like, that's why this news baffled me, because as far as I knew, this shit already existed. And it's like $80 or whatever, $85. Yeah, release. There you go. Arkham Knight Collection. Go up to the top for me.
Batman Arkham City with fully... Oh, they are the remastered ones.
Go up to the top. What's the date on that bad boy? 30th of November 2018. November of last year, this was already a thing. But my understanding is it's digital only. So maybe they're finally releasing... Oh, that's right, because the whole thing about this, it's being released physically. It's coming with a cool steelbook.
Oh, right.
So okay. It's kind of, yeah. So it's this weird line of like, AR... Is this them hinting because there's a new one? Or is this them going, pay attention to Rocksteady because they're doing something cool? Or we need the money for whatever project we're doing. Please buy Arkham again.
Fair enough. I won't be.
I'm not buying it again.
Good games, though.
Yeah, like Arkham Knight was fine, except for the car combat.
I thought it was fine. I thought the remasters
aren't that good.
I thought the whole car thing was overblown a little bit. If that to me felt like one of those internet things that everyone kind of latched onto.
It wasn't bad. It was just frequent.
Yeah.
It was like, it's workable, but when you have to do it like every 10 minutes, you're like, no, I just want to be Batman. That's where it got like long in the tooth.
Well, I think you're a little bit burnt about not getting that statue as well.
I'm still totally burnt about not getting that fucking statue.
I got it. Number two, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order features a human hero because developer Respawn was concerned that an alien protagonist would alienate players.
Pun intended.
Talking to Game Informer, game director Stig Asmussen said that early in development, the team had discussed the idea of having an alien character be the playable character, but eventually decided against it. Quote, ultimately, we didn't go with the alien race because we felt like, no pun intended, that would alienate a lot of people.
Hey.
We wanted to make sure that there was a real human connection to a character like that we have in the game. Although I mean, it's kind of like a broader decision why we did it. Personally, I think it would be really cool to have an alien protagonist.
Saying that, though, it's like, there's totally a precedence for, like, humans in Star Wars shit.
Yeah.
Like,
but I feel like humans in the Star Wars universe really should be like the minority race. You think all these alien races, but we see everything from the perspective of a human.
That's a good point.
I would have been cool to have an alien race. I don't think, like, if you write the character.
What do you mean? Aren't games all about minority representation right now?
Yeah, I suppose.
Hey.
But if. I don't think it's got anything to do with the character being a human. Just write a good fucking character and people will attach to it.
Yeah, it can look like whatever, and I'm sure it's like, if it looked like the fly guy from like New Hope, he doesn't like my friend, doesn't like you. Like, make it about him.
Yeah, make it like Watto, whatever the fuck he is.
What, a really bad Jew stereotype?
Yeah, but he was a cool character. I'd love to see more of him. Feels like a family member to me, because he's a Jew. I get it. And they also said that they went with a male protagonist because Ray is frontlining.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That makes sense. But I don't know, I would have liked the game just seems very, this is a game. It doesn't seem to be doing anything.
Well, technically risky. It's canon.
You know what I mean? It's not really pushing anything. It's just like, we're just making a pretty safe game.
Yeah. Well, once again, with the backlash that EA has received under the Star Wars licensees and what Star Wars has received in general lately, you know, I think this is probably smart for them to play safe in that sense. But, well, because that's the thing, like, The Last Jedi, which, full disclosure, didn't really like it. Like, that tried to push a different line. And this franchise is trying to push a different line, you know, but... They just went with what worked.
Last Jedi was fine.
Yeah, like,
take out the entirety of Finn's story, and that movie's great.
Yeah. it is. If you remove the whole, like, casino island, planet, that part's cool. Remove that.
And Rose. She just should.
Yeah, Rose. You know, like, her, you know, not
that's how we win.
Not against her actress. Not against the actress.
No, of course not.
She was a poorly written character.
Yeah.
So, but then, it's one of those things, if you watch that movie again, The logic of it is flawed.
Yeah.
Just the idea of like, at any point, all of that could have been prevented if someone just went, Poe, I'm not telling you this because there is a plan at work. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah.
There is a plan at work.
Yeah.
But instead that woman from Jurassic Park who was there for some reason.
That's where she's from. Yeah, right.
Was just like, no. I'm going to be stubborn about it. No.
Women in power.
Fucking fly boy. Yeah. I ain't got time for your shit.
Us girls have this under control, Poe.
Which technically they did. But if they just went, look, there's a plan.
Mm, we got this shit sorted.
Yeah, like, if that's all they said. Yeah. They just went, there's a plan.
Roll credits.
And second, they completely destroyed hyperdrives. Because the kind of agreed understanding was that created a small wormhole and then you went thunk, and then appeared wherever you needed to be.
But now it's actually a measure of travel.
But now it's literally just going fast in one direction.
And somehow not hitting anything.
Does that mean the Millennium Falcon, has it obliterated people within
The
dangers of going in hyperspace?
Yeah.
It would be, you'd blow apart asteroids, like you'd blow apart planets.
And so if the Millennium Falcon is as old as shitty as it's made out to be, panels would be flying off.
Exactly.
At that speed.
Exactly.
Oh, but in space there's no wind resistance either, though.
Yeah, but you're still... yeah, but there is still mild physics in that sense of going super fucking fast. Because, you're making the wind.
Are you, though, in space?
Because it... I don't know anymore. You broke my physics. Like, my understanding of physics exists here.
Way off topic. Anyway, Star Wars is okay in my books.
Yeah. The game looks fine. I'll play it when it comes out.
Number three, for its upcoming Dark Pictures anthology, Supermassive has announced couch co-op and online multiplayer mode, starting with Man of Medan, the first game in the series. In the shared story mode, you can team up with a buddy and play through the game simultaneously. You'll both be able to explore the spooky ship at the heart of Man of Medan and make choices that affect the story and characters you're controlling. You'll also be able to play scenes from different perspectives, both alone and together. You'll encounter different information, locations, and maybe most importantly, scares. With the movie night option, you and up to four pals will be able to play Man of Medan together. You'll each be able to enter your names and decide which characters you take charge of. The game will let you know when it's time to pass the controller, and from time to time will offer a summary of how each of you played. Dark Pictures executive producer Pete Samuel said Supermassive took inspiration from how people played Until Dawn together to include multiplayer from the outset. You'll be able to find out for yourself on August 30 when the game releases on all platforms.
That sounds cool. Awesome.
It does sound cool. That actually does... I will make time to come and stream that with you.
Yeah. Well, because you love Until Dawn.
I love Until Dawn. This sounds cool. Because the whole thing with Until Dawn is, you know, it got its popularity from Twitch because people, what do I do? Do I go left? Do I go right? You know, do I kill him? Do I not kill him? And in that way, it was already kind of multiplayer.
Mm.
So now they've embraced that and gone, like, a way out. You control this character. You control this character doing two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe split screen. I'm not sure. They didn't say that.
The adaptive split screen of No Way Out was brilliant.
That's what I take from this, is that you play two characters at the same time, you know, doing different things.
Did you play No Way Out?
No.
A Way Out, sorry. That's exactly what it was. Like, you're in the same level and you're doing different things.
Yeah, I watched videos and stuff.
And then when you cross paths with each other, it kind of, not like Lego, but it was like very, very
Lego
cool.
Lego was rough.
Yeah. So there are moments where player one is in a cutscene and you as player two are standing in the background walking around like doing controllable stuff. And it's good fun.
And then the movie night option sounds cool too.
Sounds amazing.
One big screen, there's four or five playable characters. You and all your mates sort out which character you're going to be, and when it's their turn, pass the controller over and they do their thing.
That sounds very cool.
I like...
We will 100% be streaming that.
I like the way they're going with that. I put this one in for you.
Yeah.
A new update for Division 2 adds matchmaking for the Operation Dark Hours raid, alongside a range of other improvements and two new story missions. The DC Outskirts Expeditions update adds a new discovery difficulty mode for Operation Dark Hours raid.
So this has come up with... Sorry, keep going.
which allows matchmaking. Unfortunately, Discovery Mode does not allow players to pick up the exotic loot available in the normal mode version of the raid, but Ubisoft promises a variety of great rewards will be available in Discovery runs of the activity.
So this is the episode 1 DLC that they talked about at E3.
Yep. As well as new missions and activities, there are 4 new gear items: exotic Diamondback Rifle, the Stoner LMG, Carbine 7, and exotic BTSU Data Gloves, and new classified assignments in Washington Central Aquarium and NSA Site B13. The assignments are exclusive to Year 1 pass holders, releases on July 30 for everyone and July 23rd for Year 1 pass holders.
Yeah, because I got the email about it from Jacob at Ubi. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I meant to let Josh know about this. Totally forgot.
Are you still in with Division 2?
Well, because I said right now it's been...
Is it petering off?
No, I was waiting for this. Uh-huh. I was like, cool, because I want to buy the Year 1 pass. I want to support the game more because I loved it. But it was at this point now, it's like, well, now I'm keep grinding to get to that raid, and because I still haven't done the first raid yet. Mm. And I'm like, well, let's wait and see, because I'm sure I'll find people that want to do the raid then.
Sounds like they're kind of doing what WoW did with raids, where they made Raid Finder, which is a match-made activity for the raids, much, much easier.
Yeah, so
and it's basically Discovery Mode.
Yeah, Discovery Mode is see the story. Like storyline mode. Like, because there was story mode, easy, medium, and hard. Mm.
And then challenge.
Challenging, yeah. Sorry. Story, hard, challenging, I think how it worked.
Yeah, something like that.
Difficulties. So, yeah, so there's like...
Story, normal, hard.
Challenge. Yeah, everyone was like, this shit's really hard. They're like, oh, well, here's your story version of it now that everyone's done it.
Yeah. Because especially if the raid ties into the story at all and there are story elements in there... You can't segregate the players from that story.
Exactly.
So this is, don't know how easy it's going to be, but presumably easy enough for a bunch of randos to get in there and get it done.
Because I was also personally hoping that the interest in this would bring more players in, and, hashtag not sponsored, PSN right now, 52% off all versions of the Divij.
Cool.
If you buy it, let me know and we'll party up. I know Crispy Biscuit was considering jumping on it again after he heard us praise it for ever and ever. He's like, I played it at launch, didn't do it for me. And they're like, yeah, you should probably play it.
Didn't for me either at launch.
Me either.
Do you remember me leading up to launch day? Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't know, I didn't like the beta that much. And I'm playing, I'm like, And then after about 5 hours, I was like, this is fucking dope.
Yeah.
So it was the mission that did it for me. You're in, all the lights go out and the dude bursts through the wall with the fire. I was like, yep. This is great.
Yeah. No, the game's fantastic. So, like, I would, because there is a Popsy clan. I made it because, there's a trophy like Make It Clan.
I'm
like,
tradition. Okay. There's a Popsy clan for Destiny 2.
Yeah. But no, I don't use, and I'm sure you don't use.
I'm not in it. No. I joined Max's. No, Max and I were in it. And then we both stopped playing.
Yeah.
And then I left it to have a clan with Alex, and he stopped playing. Now I'm clanless. Actually, I really want to find like a clan with a good group of people to play with, but my headset mic cable was broken because Alex broke it. But I bought a new one this week. It got delivered today.
Oh, right.
So maybe later tonight I'll go on the hunt for a clan.
Ooh.
I'm not so lonely.
Look, but if you want to, Popsy Clan is there in the Division or Destiny. Mm. Let us know.
No, it's not. It had to be disbanded
because there was no one in it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Unless you're still the leader of it.
I assume so.
Did you make it?
No, I think you made it.
When did Max make it?
I think Max made it.
I don't know.
I know, because like, I know, because I put like 4 hours in it. No, I put more than that. But Destiny really didn't grab me at all.
Oh, well, anyway.
Cool.
Top selling games for week ending 7th of July 2019. NBA 2, number 10. NBA 2K19, number 9. Minecraft, number 8. Horizon Zero Dawn, number 7. F1 2019, number 6. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, number 5. Mortal Kombat 11, number 4. Spider-Man, number 3. GTA 5, number 2. Anthem, number 1. Crash Team Racing. There you go.
As we mentioned last week of the new Redditness that we have been doing.
You.
I've been doing. You've been around for a while. Mm. There is a new... love affair for Minecraft again.
It's been going on for probably about a month.
Why is everyone loving Minecraft again? Like,
because there was a time period where it was Minecraft was a cool game to hate on, but now Fortnite's taken that spot.
So everyone's like, Minecraft never. Everyone's like,
actually,
being cool.
Minecraft is really, really good.
Yeah,
like, really fucking good.
That's good. We played at work, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Because I hadn't played it. Because I played like one. beta, then 1.0, and then I didn't touch it.
And then you come back and you're like,
what? Come back and they're like, what's that? I'm like, llama. There's llamas now?
If that's what got you.
And it's like, and then you go into the water and there's like turtles and shit.
Yeah, there's swords and shields.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And there's like underwater ships.
And underwater temples. Yeah. That's good shit.
I'm like, how are you underwater? Like, can't you like, just drown?
That's good shit.
Back in my day, you fall and went up.
Yeah, nah, it's good.
Back in my day.
Anyway, that's it for the news. Ryan, as we/you have a chat to the players about finally finishing Days Gone.
Yeah, so I returned to Oregon.
Oregon.
So after, like, yeah, finishing, you know, Crash Bandicoot, like, I don't know what I want to finish. Once again, Crispy Biscuit was like, hey, Ryan, you piece of shit. You made me buy Days Gone because you sold it so well. I played it and I finished it and you haven't finished it yet, you piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fix
Did he call you a piece of shit twice?
Yeah.
And wow.
I'm like, damn, like, I really am a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, fine. Like, I've got my set. I'm on holidays anyway.
So first question is, you said it never ends.
It felt
how
like
many
it never
hours
ends.
Did it take?
I like, wouldn't how far know. Were you? There's no way. As far as I know, there's no place to tell me the exact hours.
No. I mean, like, you're like, this never ends. But like, how far were you from the end, roughly?
Percentage-wise?
Do you have an extra 20-ish percent?
Well, I had like 4 or 5 story trophies to go.
Okay.
But it's not like at the end of the mission. Boom. It's like there was more. There was like a lot. So I would say at least 3 days of 5-plus hours playing it. So I'd say 15, 20 hours maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck. Like, there's, you know.
Was the payoff good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't a confident yeah.
No, that was more of a yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It did actually go okay. really well. Like,
sequel incoming?
Oh, totally. Mm. But it was really gnarly because it was one of those things that I felt that, because as you start playing, like, obviously you connect very heavy. Oh, and I'm going to touch on mild spoilers here if you don't mind.
I don't mind. I'm not going to finish it, so.
So the game's set around the basic premise. You're Deacon St. John. You're with your buddy Boozer, and you're on the hunt for Sarah, who's your wife. You before this all went down, you put her in a chopper, sent her away, and you want to find her because you think she was dead, and then you have reason to believe that she's not dead.
Is she not?
No,
of course
she's totally alive.
I figured,
and she's awesome.
She's cool.
She's fucking.
She seemed cool in the flashback scenes.
Yeah, like in the flashback, she was very cool. And then like later on, you find out that she was in some refugee camps that all got fucking hightailed, and then she ended up joining this militia.
Oh, she all like John Wick.
She has moments of John Wickiness. Okay. Like, when you meet her, because it's all been like 2 years since this has all went down, and the way, because even when Deacon meets her and she's this, you know, sergeant in this militia,
yeah,
and she's like stiff and army lady, and they're like, she's like, it was this weird moment of like, it was very cool. They didn't touch upon it. It was all very much in body language and how they spoke to each other. It's like, has what we had lost because they aren't the same people now. Like, it was never directly addressed, but it was very cool subtext.
Mm.
And I loved it. I thought it was fucking awesome. Like, he spent 2 years hunting this woman, and he finds her, and it's like,
ah, fuck.
Because you can tell that, like, they still love each other, but it's just like,
the world's different now.
It's very different now.
Yeah.
So I got very connected to Deacon, obviously, and you know how we talked about when we did the first impressions, this whole idea of why is he so fucked?
Yeah,
because he's just seeing some shit, and like once he finds Sarah again, his character sort of comes back to that clarity sense point.
He's not like yelling at himself.
Oh, he still yells at shit, like any sort of pre-scripted shit. Like he's randomly yelling at marauders and shit. Yeah. But like in terms of the main storyline, like he starts centering again.
Mm. Okay, cool. That's cool.
And then I got really connected to Boozer as well.
Did he make it?
Oh, he did.
Okay,
but like one of the final things you do is like. Because this militia...
Again, spoilers.
Yeah, mate, this is literally like the second last mission. The militia have this big base called Wizard Island, and it's down in the south.
Wizard Island.
Yeah, Wizard Island. Okay. Awesome. It's like an old volcano.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
excuse me. And they've discovered that there's this camp up the north, and these guys have eliminated every other camp in the south because that's what they do. Like they think they're fighting this war, this holy war to be exact.
Oh.
So when they hear about the camps up north, they start charging up north. So they swarm Lost Lake, which is this other one, and they're like, fuck this noise. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're going to fight back, and we're going to blow up their fucking place. So you and Boozer, who's Boozer's got no arm, only got one arm at this point.
Oh, did he actually get it chopped off?
He had to get it removed because it was that burning.
That's where I got up to.
The burn was so gnarly that they had to remove it, right? So he has this cool thing, and when the thing is like, was like, we're going to get a giant fucking truck. We're going to fill it with like fertilizer and shit that explodes. Mm. I'm just going to ram it through the front gate. So that way they get forced to the back gate, and we're there and we fuck them up in the back gate. So Boozer comes in with the truck and like, is it, I had the exact same moment that Deacon did. He's like, how are you driving the truck? And he goes, how are you driving the truck? And he holds up this ice cream scoop added. He's like, I could change gears with this. I was like, fuck yeah, Boozer, I'm a big fan of you. Yeah. So at the end, like, you know, Deacon's on top. He had a machine gun. He's like, I'm gonna be the spot, so no one gets in our way between here and the location. You get to like, all right, it's time for us to jump, man. It's time for us to jump. And like the steering wheel's all strapped up so it goes straight. And Boozer's like, nah, man, I need to make sure this goes there. Like, this has got to, we're one shot at this. I'm like, Boozer, no. And then, you know, Boozer hits Deke with the door and he flings off into the water because they're surrounded by a thing. And they say, boosh. And then you're like, nah, Boozer, no. And Deacon, this is a moment of break for Deacon. Mm. Like, as in, you've seen him be like mentally broken, but this is emotionally broken here. And like that, and then that becomes anger. And then he starts like
fucking shit up.
When he's like yelling here at people as you gun them down, like it feels like,
is he dead or not?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like 5 minutes, like not even like 5-10 minutes of like the final moment. And then, yeah, so Deacon comes back. Everyone, you know, the big bad guy's been mushed.
Mm.
Which is mildly anticlimactic, also really fucking cool at the same time. So you come out and everyone, and you know, Sarah's like, where's Booze? And he's like, oh, Booze is fucking dead. And like, he did this, he did this, whatever, and whatever. And then he meets other people like Ricky, who's from Lost Lake, and like, where's Booze? Like, everyone's like, oh man, that fucking sucks. Booze is so cool, blah, blah, blah. And then
Boozer rocks up with like ice cream scoops on.
No. So like Deacon walks off to stand by himself for a minute, and then Boozer just comes out of the rubble and just walks in. And I'm like, is this going to be a moment where we realize that Deacon's been mental this whole time? And he's like, hey man, and
Boozer
like,
was never real to
yeah
start.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That was my concern. It's like, was Boozer even a person? Yeah. And he's
that
talking to him.
That would have been great.
Yeah, I thought that would have been huge. But they're talking to him as, you know, like, and it's just like, yeah, I fucking jumped at the last minute. It was pretty straightforward. Like, it's like,
the fucking gate fell on me.
It's like, yeah.
Just scooping
it. The explosion literally pushed me further in the water. It was fine. Like, it just took me a while to get here. And I'm like, are we going to see him? Is he going to try hug him? Hugs him. And then yeah, everyone, like, turns around. Everyone turns around and was like, what are you doing? And yeah. Deacon's there and no one else.
Yeah.
But then everyone comes and goes, oh my God, Boozer! Ah!
Okay.
And I'm like, oh. At a moment there.
We wrote a good ending there, I think.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. That was still emotional payoff.
Yeah.
Like, as in, because I was genuinely moved when Boozer sacrificed himself.
Mm.
Because this is a guy that, the whole thing for his, in terms of his story arc, is he's living with you, he burns his arm, gets his arm removed, and then he gets into like a crippling depression.
Mm.
Because he's like, this is his throttle arm for his bike. There's nothing he can do now. Like, he is just, and his whole mission line was called surviving isn't living.
Mm.
So this whole idea of you are trying to help him to live again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One of the missions you do is you go and find him a dog, and you give him a dog, and that becomes his purpose for a little while. And then when you move again, then there's a mission where you get sent south and you're actually unable to come back up north at that point. Mm. So you don't hear from Boozer for a while, and then you radio him one day, you hear the radio and you talk to him, and he's like, oh no, our shit's good. Like, I'm head of arms, or, you know, as in like he's been promoted and he's like kicking ass.
Yeah.
And it's like, fucking Boozer. And then to have all that up, and then for him to like, then be willing to sacrifice himself, lost the life that he's just rekindled.
Mm.
It's like, oh.
Mm. Oh. And the original premise was for them to go north.
Yeah.
Did they?
No.
Like riding off into the sunset?
The credits, they do have them riding around, but it's all in location. Like,
did the Sarah thing pan out or not?
It did.
Yeah.
I think it did. Okay. It was really kind of cool. It showed her that she was not this damsel. Mm. Off, you know, being held captive somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, she was strong and she survived just like everybody else, and she knew, used what she knew to become prominent in this militia.
And she was like a botanist or some shit.
So she's working within this militia to create a cure and or a bioweapon. She's doing sort of a bit of both. And I should also mention, you know, in the E3 demos where it's like they showed the big horde at the sawmill and then the big horde at there was like a where they had the zombie bear and they break the dam.
They
were like the last six missions.
Oh.
But it's funny because, the demo that I played at PAX was like one of the last six missions.
Oh.
I'm like, holy shit. Like, they literally showed end game gameplay.
Out of context.
Yeah. And like, that's genius.
Yeah.
So like at PAX, I literally played the start of the game. I played the first mission you do with Boozer, which is the one where he gets his arm burnt. And then I played like the third last mission when you have to get the fertilizer for that thing. Like, you have to clear out a horde in this giant crater. I'm like, holy shit. Awesome. But speaking of hordes, man, like hordes, like they do get gradually bigger as you kind of level up. But like, there is a point where they go, okay, they're fucking huge now.
Yeah.
And that's what those last couple of missions were. It's like, please clear these like multiple hundred zombie hordes.
How'd your PS4 Pro handle that?
Oh, it sounds like a jet engine. Yeah. But it was awesome, man. Yeah. Because like, I tried the same thing as like I did at PAX. I'm like, oh, let's just gun this in. But the big difference when I did it at PAX, I didn't know the weapons. I didn't know how to make it work. I didn't know how to plan traps. But here I was, I'm like, okay, I've got a couple hundred things in this crater, freakers in this crater. What can I do? There's gas tanks there. And like, my complete different mindset after playing it for what felt like hundreds of hours. To this point, I'm like, I can map this out. And it took me like six goes. Like, it wasn't quick, but it was that moment of, all right, cool, set up some things here. I had these new like napalm Molotovs, they're called. It's like mini napalm bombs. And I was able to literally funnel them to where I wanted, bottleneck them and then just peg the fuck out of them, blow them out, and then just kind of like use the environment to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Where previously, last time I was like, nah! I just ran and I didn't. Play that way. So when I did the sawmill, I'm like, I kept finding choke points and just like hiding out and doing what I had to do, and then like eventually they'd break in and move it around. And it was impressive how the game taught me how to deal with these massive hordes without even realizing. Because when I saw that first horde, like when I approached this big offer, I'm like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, think about it. This is what I've got, this is what I've been given. I can do this. And then I did it, and it was so rewarding. I went, yes, high five, and James went, yeah, high five, daddy. I'm like, yeah, and I high five my kid.
So hard that he fucking went through the TV. So what you're saying is the game itself is very, very good, albeit a bit too long.
Yeah, the totally some performance bugs. During the back end of the game, I had a lot of frame rate drops where it was really dropped. There was a couple of moments where it dropped to zero, and it's like, and normally sometimes it was during horde times. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
So that was a problem. There were some texture pop in issues. Like, there's one time where I'm talking to Boozer, his head is perfectly highly rendered, his entire body is not.
Cool.
Because at some point, because when you move to the south, you give him your cut, and then you go off and you come back. So during this is just before you go and do the big truck thing. So he gives you back your cut, which isn't as you went to grab it, because he's wearing his and it's all untextured. I'm like, please don't give me an untextured one. They pull out a high texture. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because like, if it was something like, is there a button that says no?
You keep it, mate.
Keep it. But so the thing here. with Days Gone, I strongly believe it doesn't deserve the criticism that it was given. Like, people shat on this game. It is like it is substandard compared to what would be the average PlayStation exclusive. Yeah, but it's good. Like, you do have to sift through a very long game and some performance issues here and there.
You say that's value for money, though, as well.
Yeah, in terms of if you want value for money, yeah, Days Gone is totally worth it. Like, the game is just long.
And it's better than the 1886, the order.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
That's not the worst.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was the worst. But no, the game was way better than I expected. Do I regret buying the statue? Fuck, no, not even a little bit.
That's pretty cool.
Not even a little bit. Cool. Like, as in, like, I put money down on this. Like, yes, PlayStation Australia did send us a code that we gave. I think you used it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I dollared in on this, and yeah, it was totally worth it. So now I've got like 6 trophies left. Mm. I'm going to get that plat.
Does that change your Game of the Year so far list? That we did last week? Do you remember what you had on it?
No, yeah, because like Division was on there.
Yeah, Division, Resident Evil 2.
I'd say it's probably like one thing, because I've only played like 20 games this year.
Yeah.
And out of like, I've only got what, 7 credits now? So teams have actually put like to their end point.
Mm.
It's certainly top like 3, if not top 5. Like, I had such a good experience with it. Mm. Apart from the length of time.
Apart from the middle. It just dragged.
Yeah, like it real, like there, yeah, the back end of it was solid.
Yeah.
Like, as we discussed back in the day, like it really feels like that they were learning how to make this game as they were making it.
Mm.
So for that reason, the start is a little rough. Mm. There's, you could certainly rip some of this game out and it wouldn't drastically affect everything.
Mm.
But there's a lot of world building here.
Mm.
And I like that because there's a lot of detail about the Freakers and why they exist and that they're mutating, that they're becoming.
And it feels like the camps are still moving along while you're not there.
Pretty much, yeah. Like these things are still going. Like, yeah, it's fine. Like,
cool.
Yeah, I'd give like an 8, I guess, if we don't do that anymore. But like in terms of like, is it like Last of Us? Is it Uncharted? Is it like, no. Mm. And that's fine. Mm. Not every game can be that.
Mm. And yeah, people also have to remember that this is their first game on a mainline console since the PS2.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good so starting
for
point.
That is a staggering achievement. And I think Studio Ben did something awesome here.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed it.
And you wonder what the next game's going to be like. Now that they've kind of got it figured, got it sorted, got their foot in the door, they can put everything they've learned into.
And if it's Days Gone 2, yep.
Mm.
And if it's something else, yep.
Mm.
Like, I think
they can't be relegated to the Vita anymore, can they?
Yeah, that's it. I think this is the first. Yeah, this is the first step into them making some cool shit. I don't see them being the pedigree of like Naughty Dog or I guess now Guerrilla, but they're good.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good. This game was good.
Cool.
Like, yeah, but that's not what you thought of Days Gone, even though I'm sure people will be like, it's dark. I'm like, no, no. It's because, like, it's one of those things, there is a point that you have to push past.
Mm.
And once you push past that, it opens up a bit in a good way. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes it better. But before we jump into the drop, because as I said, let us know what you think, we did reach out to the community,
mm-hmm.
Facebook, the Popsy community, to ask about what are some things that we should talk about. Because up until I finished Days Gone, we had nothing.
Yeah.
We had absolutely nothing.
Very, very slow week this.
Yeah, it's been a very slow week. And like normally we find a key point of news to pull off and sort of go from there. But so this way we reached out and got a handful of responses. So the first one was from Zach Jackson, who's a good friend of the show. And he told us to talk about remakes that would make great launch titles for the PS, the PS5 or the next gen. I think we've talked about remakes.
We've talked about remakes a lot.
Yeah. Hang on.
I'm still just going to default to Legend of Dragoon.
Yeah. I was going back to nature.
That's just Porsche my
challenge.
Yeah, do it.
I know that Zach's asking that question because he wants Porsche challenge.
Fair enough.
So for that reason, Zach, it's Porsche challenge. Kyle, as the one saying the crispy biscuit, he says, why don't you talk about next gen and what Sony could do to bust down the door against Xbox as they've been killing it with buying studios? An example, Sony really could really do with buying up some studios to do with racing games, as they're severely lacked in the department. They need to a real competitor for Forza.
What happened to Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo is still around, but it no way comes out as frequent as Forza. Like Forza is a, pun intended, a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they've got two groups running simultaneously, where one's working on the Forza Motorsport and one's working on Horizon. So you've got the really hard sim and then like the fun.
Mm.
So it's kind of like Gran Turismo and then what Drive Club was
supposed
to be.
And also some screenshots from Horizon and the other one are uncannily real.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, Forza is brilliant.
I was thinking about this.
Mm.
So, look at Nintendo. They've got the whole play at home, play somewhere else.
Mm.
Xbox have play on an Xbox, play on your PC. PlayStation have play on PlayStation.
Mm.
The competitors are starting to spread their wings, giving you multiple ways to play their games in multiple different locations. Whereas Sony are very tight. I would like to see them do something to... Which is going to lead me to say, I think they should do another handheld, man.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Yeah, big one.
I would pay... Well, I would pay...
Didn't you just see the announcement of the Switch Lite?
Yeah, that's
pretty much the Vita.
Shit.
It's just the Vita.
Yeah, it's dumb. I would pay console price for a handheld that is looked after the way the Switch has. If Sony were like, here's the Vita 2. If you want to get away from the Vita name, fucking get away from it. Mm. But for example, here's the Vita 2. It can remote play your PS5 games and... you know, all this other stuff, like the Switch, kinda. It's $450 though, because it's so bad. I'll be like, yep, I'll take it.
Well, because even if they do the thing like, hey, yeah, these games run at native 4K on your PS5. Mm. Obviously, we can't do that on the handheld. Mm. Handheld's 1080 or even 720.
Mm. I'd accept it.
Because you're saying that I can play my PS5 game even just
with all your cross save and everything like that. Everything is cross save between it.
Yeah,
I would pay a lot of money.
See, this is I when you said spread, I thought you were going the idea of like the open model, like, you know, as in like Xbox.
I don't know. It's just they had the lack of options where, like, obviously you've said before, Xbox. Microsoft, which are PCs, so it makes it a bit easier. How easy it is irrelevant. It's the fact that you can do that.
Yeah, but like, this is the thing. So that I think it does have a bit of, no, I wouldn't say arrogance. There is some like pride, not proud to, but like, there's some pride to it, I guess. But for him to be like, hey, you could play anywhere. It's like, no, we're going to give you reasons to play here.
Mm.
It's like if you go to a shop and they're like, oh, it's fine. You can buy it here. You can buy it anywhere. You can buy it wherever you want. And you're like, no, there's a reason you can only buy this here because this is good shit and it's here.
Yeah, no, I get that. And it's not about buying it on PlayStation. No, but I mean, it's like, about having the option
to... As the model of a company, I don't think there's nothing wrong with them going, we tailor make shit here that is so good, you'd want
to
come here.
No, yeah. So it's, I'm not saying spread their games to PC.
Yeah.
They can still, if they did another handheld...
It's still PlayStation. Yeah.
It's still PlayStation, yeah. But it's giving continuity option.
You totally swerved me. I thought you were going one way. I'm like, ooh.
I've already got it all prepped.
Like, oh, I'm not Vita 2. I totally want that.
I know you can do remote play onto your iPads now or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of, but it's not quite what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I just like, I love playing Destiny 2 right now on my PlayStation. I've tried remote playing it to the Vita. That's fucking garbage. No. But I'd love to be able to just like sit in bed and just like do some bounties.
Well, cause
you know what I mean?
Like, not even remote play, like, right? So because like,
yeah, not even.
If it's not remote play, as in you are literally kind of running the game at a lower res and like obviously not as intense on the handheld, because like the problem, this is the problem with streaming games, which we'll get to in part of the next question, is that like streaming just builds latency.
Yeah.
And when you're playing games like Destiny or like The Division, or because that's probably what I'd totally play Division in bed, like that latency is horrid.
Yeah.
And it's going to make you die.
And even if they did something like the way they do it is like a new game on PS5 is, let's say $80, right? But for $120, you can get the PS5 and the Vita 2 copy, so you can do all your cross save.
Mm.
You're not buying the same game twice for full price, but you also are. You still need to purchase it on the other console, but it's more appealing because if you buy that bundle for the both, one version is half price.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just get people into it. I'd totally do that.
Mm.
It's like, here's The Last of Us 2 for $80 or $120, and you can play it on the Vita 2. I'll be like, yep. So I can play it on the train to work to school. I can play it for a bit in bed.
Yes, yeah, so and you come home and your save goes to the cloud.
You don't have to do anything.
You come in and then, or even that, like native, you just go, boop, the save goes to your PS5, yeah. You finish your day, you sit down, boot up PS5, and it's like you were playing on the train.
Exactly.
But better.
That's what I just want to see the option to take my games with me.
Mm.
Switch has it. Microsoft kind of does, because if you've got a good laptop, or even, you know, you can play the Game Pass on your laptop, you can take it with you. PlayStation, you can't take the games with you anywhere, and I'd love to have that option. From a peripheral they own.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. Not some third party shit. Not some partnership with Apple and stuff.
Yeah, you got me there. But keeping it in house, mate. Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, keeping it in house. Yeah. Even if they don't, I don't give a fuck.
Mm.
But the only way I could see them doing it is keeping it in house.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And the other thing is, in terms of the racing games, like, yeah, I guess they, back to sort of what Crispy was asking, was like, yeah, they've got Gran Turismo, but they make games so infrequently that it's almost not financially viable.
Wasn't the last one kind of shit?
Yeah, GT Sport something? Was supposed to be their kind of attempt at Horizon, as in it's not entirely, it's simmy, it's not as simmy as GT. Mm. Yeah, and like the problem is because they have...
Drive Club, what happened to that?
Well, Drive Club was done by Evolution Studio, yeah, which was supposed to be a launch game, got delayed,
that's right,
buggy up the mess, and then the studio got canned for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
So like they were trying to sort of have that sort of fun racing game, simmy game, but just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Something about Horizon is, about Forza, is that it's just so tight, of a machine that they can pump out these games almost simultaneously without any falter.
Mm. Yeah, I'd like to see them get a good racing game going. Not that I play it, but there is a market for it, because Forza, there obviously is with how popular Forza is, and a good shooter going again.
Yeah, get a good first
they've
person.
They've got IPs, they've got Killzone, they've got Resistance, both franchises have been away for a long time.
Or even something new.
Something new would be dope. Mag.
Oh yeah,
with
Mag.
The current
dude, Mag was Battle Royale before Battle Royale.
With the big current, because Mag was 250 player service, if I remember right. With how the multiplayer market is, fucking bring that SOCOM.
They would eat that up. Yes,
SOCOM back. They've got the IPs there, and the market does want it.
Yep.
But maybe they're seeing the market as oversaturated, and they don't see room to jump in. Look, but how do you know? You know, and I don't believe they don't have enough money to try.
And it's that weird tough line of. Battle Royales are cool. Well, let's make something with the OP. Like, oh, Battle Royale's already been around for a year. It's going to take at least 5 years to develop this. Mm. They'll be long dead by then. Okay, cool. Which is good. Like, that's the answer I want. Like, I don't want to see a company, you know, like someone like PlayStation be like, we made a Battle Royale game. Like, Battle Royales were cool 4 years ago.
Mm.
But we made one.
Yeah, no, I get that too. I'd love to see a good fucking shooter again.
Yeah, give me a good shooter.
First party shooter.
Because, like, I do certainly think... that we, because with pretty much every game that PlayStation are making, and especially first parties, there are third person action games.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, this is their bread and butter. They know how to make this shit good. Mm. And I like that. Mm. But like, I think there is something about diversifying that a little bit. Yeah, even though I do think third party action adventure games are the best way to tell a good story.
Mm.
But saying that though, like, you can do good first person stories and so
Titanfall
on and so
2.
On.
Oh. Mm. Oh, what a game. What a game.
I played it, but I thought you went for it.
Yeah.
But there you go. There's your answer.
Where are we? Getting out of time. Let's go.
All right. Quick. Buddy Watson asked about our PlayStation Origin stories. Like, why'd you get into PS and first memories? I think we talked about that before.
I think so. When my mum met my stepdad, he had a PlayStation.
Yep. My dad bought me mine when I was about 8. He bought it from a swap meet in Melbourne. It came modified. And
I
chipped a bunch of games.
Modified. It's just like, do you want to come, like, you know, I'm going to my friend's house. You know, I think I was like 10, maybe.
Yeah.
And he has a PlayStation. What?
He's my new best friend.
First time I meet him, like, hi, Dad.
Well, he's your dad now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I played Croc. That was the first PlayStation game I ever played.
Yeah. Where's Croc? Croc's on the shelf here. Fucking look, Croc is garbage.
It's so garbage.
It does not hold up in the slightest. Liam jumps in and goes, how about you talk about some recent things with Sony? I'm like, fuck you. Oh, Liam, you smart ass. And this one, so Lee's, this probably will vaguely touch upon this, but I think it's something we can probably touch upon in bigger, if not we already have. He goes, your thoughts on current trends and movements of the game industry. He goes, examples being physical copies of games becoming less popular with specific groups of people, and digital game stores becoming more popular, as in like the switch between physical to digital, and your thoughts on game streaming.
I completely avoid digital if I can, because the pricing is just not right.
Yeah.
It's just, that's, for me, that's how it is, because like we've said before, a new game on the new AAA game on PSN is $99.95, $100.95. JB and Big W have it for $64, $69 on launch. I don't buy games digitally if I can avoid it.
Yeah.
Except for your indies, of course, that don't have physical releases. Yeah, and I love browsing the pre-owned section. Sometimes there's fucking baller deals there. Alex bought Destiny 2 for his Xbox for $7 last week. That's good shit. And you don't get that digitally.
Yeah.
Like Destiny 2 digital sale will probably still be like $20-$30. I'm a physical guy.
Yeah.
That's just what I am.
I come at it from two angles.
I get it.
Yeah. For two angles, it's for me. Like, A, I love the ease of digital, because like I've got dope internet here, so it's not a problem. And this is totally like, you know, fucking privilege hat right now. But like when we get given games, when we get games to review, I should say, no one just gives us games. We have to always ask and deliver. Thanks. But digital all the way. But there was a window of time where we used to get send the red discs.
Yeah. But then postage time and all that.
Yeah, postage
and the
time.
Game's out before we even get the disc.
And then, like, we can't both play it at the same time. Like, so digital totally works there. Like, I wouldn't, if someone was like, hey, I'm going to send you physical, I'm like, give me digital, man. Like, never give me physical.
But then, as far as PC goes, digital all the way.
Oh, yeah.
There's no other option anymore.
Yeah.
Really.
Saying that, though, but same as like for games that I do buy, I buy physical. Where I can, because same as you, like that's where the dollar savings are. Like, you know, even though I don't buy all the games that we play, like I still have to watch my dollary dues, and
yeah, and you know, just,
when you can save $30-$40 by buying it on disc,
almost 2-for-1,
yeah,
in a way. That's why, like other podcasts I listen to, like Sacred Symbols. Colin's a big purveyor of the all digital future.
The big difference here in the US,
that's what I'm talking, it's a different country though.
Well, yeah. Even in the US, because you know how on release day we can get the same, we can get a brand new game for like $70, whatever. Which in the US, no matter where you go on day one, everything is $60. Like they don't have that same. Even all stores just have it
but
at $60.
Also, their storefront, it is also $60. Whereas for us, our storefront. Our in-shop and our digital prices are way fucking
different.
Oh, no,
but I mean that as in like, it's across the board, everyone agrees that, you know, day one, $60.
But so I feel like here, if I did that here.
If it was here in Australia, as in, because we've now tasted the sweet life of paying $70 or $60, if there was an agreement that like, hey, everyone in Australia is selling it at the registered retail price of $110, unquestionable on launch day, uproar.
Yeah, fucking oath.
Because there's an unreasonable amount of money for a game.
Yeah. Totally is. But yeah, in America, I feel like the situation is different over there. Yeah. Because
see,
it is the same
for
price.
For them, they earn staggeringly less an hour than we do here. So for 60, in comparison, $60 a game for them might as well be considered a $100 game.
But what I'm saying is that decision to go all digital over there makes more sense. Because that's how it is. It is
because
the same
there's
price
no
everywhere.
Negotiating there. It's like, no. Well, it's $60 here or it's over there.
But down here, if we go all digital, I'm paying like $40 more for my games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah, and like the ease of use of digital is not worth $40.
No, not to me. No.
All right. So on top of that though, I still like buying collector's editions. Although collector's editions scales have, like the quality is staggeringly dropped. If they improve that shit, then physical will always win. Like even if they remove like standard copies, which will never go away, but like put some of the money into the fucking good physical stuff.
Cool.
Right. Thank you everyone for submitting this week.
Yeah. Let's talk about the drop. What's the section called?
In a section we call Coming to the Players, we talk about what games are coming to your PlayStation, digital and physical, this week.
New PlayStation games for July 16, 2019. 198X PS4 Digital, Captain Cat PS4 Digital, Aetherborn, I skipped one, did I? The Copper Canyon Shootout PSVR Digital, Aetherborn PS4 Digital, Flutter Bombs PS4 Digital, Focus on You PSVR Digital, Gabuchi.
Game sounds
that
sexy.
Sounds like a word that I shouldn't use. It sounds like a racial slur. PS4 Digital. Grotopia PS4 Digital.
Farming Game.
Let's Sing 2019 PS4 digital.
It was better than 2018.
Mochi Mochi Boy. That also sounds like a racist.
Yeah.
PS4, PS Vita, digital cross-buy.
Bloody Mochi.
Pig Eat Ball, PS4 digital. Redeemer, enhanced edition, PS4 digital.
I remember Redeemer. That
Submersed, okay. PS4 digital. Super Dragonfly Chronicles, PS4 digital. Telefrag VR, PSVR digital.
There's nothing of worth.
Don't even bother.
Go play
that. Oh, maybe Telefrag, apparently, that might actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Telefrag is fast-paced PvP shoot, VR PvP shooter, inspired by the arena shooters of old.
Lots of jumping, lots of bombing.
Yeah. That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes, Spotify, and other podcast services. If you'd like to join in future conversations, please join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. Feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
If you support us on Patreon, you can watch us record this show live. Any dollar value. Get a nice little sneaky link where you come watch us record this when we're not so pushed for time.
Yeah.
And you can also watch us record our other show, The Young and the Wrestlers.
Not my show.
The same thing. Well, it's our show because we're all part of the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same conglomerate.
But if you like Ryan and dislike me, that's the show to go to.
Yeah, if you wished that Josh was a shorter, less hair-faced woman, it's Jem.
Yeah.
Jem's cool.
She hasn't fucked with my mic recently too. That's good.
I told her. She's
I
like,
take note now. I'm like, I look at it. I'm like, has she touched it? Is
she? But if you want to support us in a more one-size fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shopping. Buy shirts not like this and other sort of shit that logo's on it. We also run on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist. I'm still yet to stream Five Nights at Freddy's because I didn't want to like poo myself and then cough my face out.
Mm.
But did you just want to do that at some point?
At some point.
What? Too busy, man. The schedules are all fucked.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. Until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players. Fucking run.
I need to pee.
Run to the toilet. For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, AJ Abotomy, Damien Holdies, Lee Winterchauvin, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.